I absolutely love this song. It's such a classic. It's a timeless classic. And it's a great way to get us in on a great Tuesday. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Full Press Hockey Weekly for Tuesday, June 21st, 2022. Mike Straw here with you, as always, with Chris Wessel, Jim Behringer. Guys, we're in the midst of the Stanley Cup Final. We have the NHL draft in 2.5 weeks. We have free agency in 3.5-ish weeks. We are into fun times here all around. But before we get into anything, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. I'm liking it. Feeling good. Stanley Cup Finals on. Wrapping it up. You know, we got some exciting news today in our group chat. I was happy about that.
We can't talk about it yet. But
no, we can't.
I teased it on this show multiple times, and if you're a fan of the show, a listener, you will know what I'm talking, what Jim is bringing up. But when it happens and when it drops, you're gonna see our three faces a lot more.
So it just won't be your ugly mug.
Oh, come on! We gotta do like a triple ugly mug. We gotta go all in.
Oh, my mug is beautiful. Well, absolutely beautiful.
It is now, yes.
It is the greatest.
You can do bongos, Jim.
It is the boom, 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 bongos.
Oh, wait,
it is
you can greatest. Do that with my head now, too.
That's true.
It's the most beautiful face in the world. And if you don't think so, well, no problem.
I got two words for you.
Chris, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. You know, for those that don't know, first off, the opening intro music from New Jersey.
Jersey Boys. That's it. Frankie Valli and Four Seasons. Let's go.
So you always gotta pay homage to that. Second off, we are in the, as people know, Jim and I are in the land where the heat wave forgot.
Except for the weekend.
It doesn't count. One day at 90 degrees is like, oh, he throws it on there.
He throws it up.
Sometimes, folks, you just have to have a good laugh and enjoy things.
Speaking of which, Mike's rocking a killer T-shirt, by the way.
Bullet Club
T-shirt. Yeah,
like 6 years old. Stupid. The full cleaner, everything.
That's nice. What's nice up, New done. Japan, nice baby. Done. That's what's going on.
But you know, it's like I've said to people, it's a crazy time of year. We're still. It feels like we're a couple weeks late, but yet we aren't. It's kind of nice in its own way. Based on the ratings alone this weekend, it's like not bad at all.
Not bad to me is an understatement. And we'll talk about the ratings in 1 second. Mm-hmm. But for those tuning in. On today's show, we are going to talk about the Stanley Cup Final, what we've seen. We're going to talk about coaching and my conspiracy theories, and not even conspiracy theories, but why are there so many retreads? I've lost my mind on it before, and I'll lose my mind on it again tonight.
I tweeted out that
this is going to be a fiery episode, and it's solely because I'm going to rant a lot tonight if given the opportunity. And the benefit is, I will always have the opportunity because I control the mute function.
This is a good point.
This is true.
Jimmy, Chris, ask the conch. We're screwed.
That's all right. You know what? Sometimes we got to just let him go and let him talk because, you know what? He's missed a couple episodes.
Exactly. I had to make up.
So he's got to make up for lost time. That's okay. He's allowed to do that. You know what? It's been good. Like you guys said, to say it's doing good is an understatement. Like Mike said, we'll get to it later, considering the last couple of games have been blowouts. But, I mean, look.
Overall, just playoffs in general. We'll talk about the ratings now, and then we'll talk about the games itself.
But the way Chris said it, it's dragging. Yes, it's. But you know what? Even when other sports are going on, it seems like for the first time in a long time, despite the NBA going on, despite MLB, hockey is front and center on everybody's mind, and that's a good thing.
Can we
for good reasons?
One, it's on ABC. It never got this kind of love on NBC.
No, never.
They averaged for game 3, 8.07
million. With an M.
My God. If anything,
Well, let's be more specific. The actual game did 4.7 million.
Yeah, from 8 to 11.
If you count the pregame show, they did eight million. NBC never got these kind of numbers ever.
No, and it's not like it was a close game. They from 9 to 11, according to Deadline, from 9 to 11 Eastern, so the bulk of the game, 9.07 million. The 25 to 54 demo, 3.2 rating, 18 to 49, a 2.7.
Those are excellent numbers.
That is absolutely, like, if you're the NHL, in 1 year, you call that a win. And in my mind, if I'm the NHL, I'm going, shit. Every other year, it has to be on cable television. It's got to be on TNT. And TNT, ABC can draw those numbers because they're over-the-air network. You just need an antenna, whatever. TNT, they're going to have to work. People will still tune in, but one, this is clearly also a case of people thought, oh, the Rangers aren't in it, ratings aren't going to. No, because this is an amazing young team in Colorado that has just ascended to the top as far as their play, their ability, exciting that people want to watch. And whether people want them in or not, the intrigue is there of seeing Tampa try and win a third straight. Like, people want to watch to see them if they win it, and there's people that are watching hoping they lose. So, like, the intrigue is there, and the NHL can't be happier with the matchup they got in reality.
Well, here's a question for both of you guys, and I've been thinking about this. With ESPN only going up to the conference final, obviously they're going to put more games on ABC on the weekend. If you're Turner, do you try to ask CBS for weekend games and put it on the big station?
I think after seeing this, you try. I don't think it happens.
No, I don't think it happens either.
But you have to give it a shot. I mean, look, I'm showing my age again. But I can remember a time where CBS did have the Stanley Cup final on. 1980. New York Islanders.
They beat the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, it was a good time for people that don't like the Flyers.
But it did
excellent ratings then for a time where you just wouldn't expect. So that those over the air numbers always tend to carry this time of year. And with the NHL being the only game in town now, pretty much as far as your major sports championships.
What's impressive about it too, game one, that 8 to 11 window, got 3.22 million.
Right.
That's really good on a Wednesday.
It over doubled. For a Monday night, two and a half times, roughly, the audience. For the NHL, again, that is phenomenal news. Kudos all around. And now I know you guys have your soft spot for Doc Emrick. I still call him the most overrated play-by-play person in the history of sports. I'd take Mike Adamley calling WWE before I take Doc Emrick.
Wait. I take Mike Adamley calling American Gladiators.
Yeah, that's true. I take Mike Adamly calling
Matt over Mike Adamly Adamly doing WWE.
There you go. It's still, no matter what it is, it's still better than Doc Emmerich in my mind. But him saying that ESPN, like, it wasn't a good first year.
Wait a minute. We got a story on this.
Because I talked to the new Devils beat writer. Yeah. Oh, we have an actual beat writer that's competent, finally.
Right.
Allowed to report on things. No.
Is it you?
No, it's not
then,
us. It's
then
not
I guess
us.
They're not competent.
No. This guy's actually
doing really good work. Like TG did really good work.
Yeah, there's a level of, you know, but basically, for those listening, that quote was totally just made up, butchered. You name it. It was somebody pulled it from somewhere, and it somehow gained legs, like a lot of things do. It's like the Weeks bomb with Chicago that wasn't quite done yet. It was a little rough around the edges. It wasn't al dente. This quote was similar. It was made up. It was just, and first off, Doc Emmerich would never say anything like that where it would see the light of day publicly. He's very careful with what he says, almost sometimes too careful. It's been something that he's admitted in the past for what it's worth. And in so many words, you can't believe everything you read on the internet.
It's true. I mean, like,
he said it.
No, he didn't say it.
I mean, it doesn't change the fact that I think he's the most overrated play-by-play in all of sports.
Yeah, but I mean, just look at the quote itself. I mean, Doc Emmerich, A, would never say that out in public, and B, knowing Mike Emmerich and meeting him,
he's old enough. Maybe he's just losing it.
No. Because I, you know, getting chances to reach out to people close to him, Doc has no idea where this is coming from because he's never ever said this in interviews anywhere. Uh-huh. He hasn't really given an interview since he's retired. And you know, the people that know him best know that he wouldn't say that kind of thing, and he would never disrespect the broadcast of others, because that's not the kind of guy Mike Emmerich is.
Okay, what's our policy tonight on announcing things from a certain award
show? Yeah, we can do that. For those, I mean, everybody listening to this after the fact will know, but yeah, Igor Shesterkin.
No shocker. No shocks.
The least shocking award maybe in the last 5 years.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you could have bet the house and would have won that he was winning the Vezina Trophy. Like, I mean, no Dominic shock.
Dominic Hasha called and said, "Hey, you know, give this guy the award already."
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Right?
They should have handed this out before the playoffs. Everybody.
Yeah, this should have been one of the awards they didn't even air.
Yeah, like this one was. This was guaranteed money.
So, just real quick for fun for fun and perspective, Mike, because I know you like to hear these things. All right. Now, as everybody knows, unfortunately, if we only had certain advanced stats before the early 90s with Dominic Hasek, we could only imagine some of the numbers that he put up. So things like quality start percentage and all that fun stuff, unfortunately, we don't have access to. It's one of those things that can only go back so far. But one thing that they've been able to do, Mike, in the last, like, year or so is go back and go into things like goals saved above average and goals saved, you know, above expectation, at even strength. They've been able to go back like a good 30 plus years now. And Hasek basically had three straight years where he was above a 54.
Wow.
So basically, he was saving 2/3 to 3/4 of a goal above expected per start.
It's disgusting what he did. Like,
so really, I mean, look. You think about the golden age of like goalies, like in the 90s.
It was the 90s.
It was the 90s. Brodeur, Watt, and Hasek. I mean,
all at
those
the same
guys,
damn time.
All at the, and you could throw Belfour, Cujo.
How spoiled were
Olzig?
We?
Then? You could
only the goalie,
man.
98.
Van Beesbrook in there. You had, you know, Vernon. You had all those guys still going. I mean,
even Osgood a couple years.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, he had some moments.
He had some moments,
it was still enough, like, to where it's like, yeah, Archer's Urbe coming up in the late 90s, and
yeah, I mean,
but like I said to people,
from 95 to like 2003, we got spoiled to hell,
rotten. I mean, you look at some of the numbers.
Wait, think about it. Dominic Hasek was Ed Belfour's backup in Chicago.
Man, Jesus,
isn't that crazy?
And he went to a Stanley Cup final.
So think about this for perspective. Hasek stole 16 or more points, basically, three straight years.
Yeah, sounds about right.
That's basically a playoff berth every year, guys. And for those,
and there's a reason they made it every year.
Dominic Hasek.
Hasek. I mean, legitimately, if you look at the record without, it's not even close. All right, so for perspective, fast-forwarding it to this year, and why were we talking about this? Igor Shesterkin, as we all know, 26 years old. We dug into the archives for the age 26 year of Hasek for fun. You know what? He wasn't doing this yet. That's what may be scary. Hasek's best years, obviously, were from when he was about 29 to about 34, 35.
Wow.
Remember when he turned? Remember that 99-2000 season. The part of the reason why the Devils won the Stanley Cup, folks, is because Hasek got hurt. Let's be honest; it would have been a hell of a time for the Devils to try and get through Buffalo that year. But Shesterkin is just 20...
would have gotten through Buffalo.
I think with that team.
Yeah, but everybody thought everybody in 99 would get through Buffalo, and then Hasek went on Hasek-like run, and when Hasek was at the top of his game, no one was beating him.
Well, I mean, he carried the Czech Republic to a gold medal.
And then
he just took Buffalo to a... Yeah, nobody would... If you ask, like, the question, like, because everybody now is like, oh, you know, one game, who you taking? Back then, everybody was picking Dominic Hasek.
Like, if he wanted to, but he was also the goalie that if he get pissed off before a game, he just would be like, my groin hurts.
Yep.
But whatever.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Shesterkin's year three is very eerily similar to what we call Hasek's quote unquote year four, which was basically his first year as starter in Buffalo. It's eerie. I mean, it's not even like a little bit alike. There's too many similarities for words. You go right down to his point stolen. You go, I call it goalie point stolen. Yes, I know that's not the name for it, but it just sounds
now.
Yep, it is now. So his goal saved above average was 45 this year. Hasek's in that year before he went supernova was 44 or 43.94. You know, right. It's 44. You know, the goals against is there. The save percentage is very similar. The adjusted goals against, the point, you know, like I said, the point, you know, the Rangers were 13 points above grade. Sabres were like 12 something. I mean, you name it. Now, is Shesterkin on that kind of trajectory in this era? Maybe not. But you know what? It's kind of fun that we could have a potential second golden age of goaltending on our hands. It just may not be quite to the scale that we're used to, because remember, numbers back then were so thrown back because of the lack of shots per game.
Yo, so, and he just didn't win this. He ran away with it.
I'm going to pull up the voting. He had 29 first place votes, 3 second place votes. 3 goalies that got the first place votes instead of him. Of the 32 first place votes, he got 29. Ooh. There were 3 goalies that got first place votes.
Oh, I got this one right too. 2 for 2.
Freddie Anderson, Andrei Vasilevskiy and Ilya Sorokin all got first place votes.
Yeah.
Vasilevskiy, okay, whatever. Freddie Anderson.
Well, Anderson had a good run before he got hurt.
Don't care. I mean, he wasn't even a top three. And he still got a first place vote. Markstrom got zero. UC Soros got zero. Yeah. Even Thatcher Demko got a third place vote.
Oh, wow. All right. I mean,
there's how the voting went down. Like,
it's pretty interesting. I mean, because look, that was his best year. Ooh, that is scary. Frederik Anderson's career best year for goals saved above average was this year. Go figure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not shocked, but at the same time, he did actually have a pretty good year until he got hurt. So I guess you kind of have to at least put some numbers in there. So
Before we move on to the finals itself right now, Moritz Seider won the Calder for Rookie of the Year. So
and he got 170 first place votes.
Absolutely incredible. Now, Stanley Cup final. The big thing that we're all here. Colorado leads Tampa 2-1. Colorado looked like they were going to sweep them after the first two games, especially after game two. Game two was just a brutal thing. But if anybody knows Tampa like we do, and anybody who watches us does, you know until Tampa gets home to not rule them out. You know, even after a blowout loss, to not count them out, because Tampa is that good. They've been there. They've done that. It just is how it is. And they had a very convincing win last night, 6-2 over the Avalanche at home, bring the series 2-1. What has stood out, Jim? I'll start with you. What stood out the most to you through these first three games?
Special teams. You know, the power play for Tampa finally got on the board after being 0-16. I think their penalty kill could be a lot better. They still gave up two power play goals, but towards the end when Colorado was trying to mount a comeback, they were able to do everything. The speed of Colorado is just on a different level in the first two games. And I think I like, you know, the big question for me coming in, as I wrote on fullpresshockey.com, is what adjustments were John Cooper and the Tampa Bay Lightning going to make? Because they were just like, we've said this on the show all the time. The only team that really can beat the Tampa Bay Lightning are the Tampa Bay Lightning themselves. But when you have a team like Colorado who is giving you no time and space, the uncharacteristic mistakes just stand out a little bit more. Like their breakouts were better. Their passing was better. Everything was better in game three. They took advantage of the fact that Colorado's D likes to pinch and keep everything in the offensive zone. It started with the Cirelli goal. And sometimes you need a break to get something going. But the fact is they were able to get shots on Darcy Kemper. Shoot the puck and things will happen. And Kucherov making the right plays, filling space. They attacked the defense and the strength of Colorado, whipping the puck in. Chris commented on my Twitter when I saw that happen. Hard dump ins. None of this light stuff and going to chase. Don't give them time. Attack their strength, and that's what they did. And they put shots on Darcy Kemper. And, Mike, you and I talked about that in the Edmonton series. Did you trust Darcy Kemper? No. I said it all along before this
even series. With the shutout, still, dude.
Even with the shutout. Well, yeah, but he has 17 saves. They protected him the whole game. They didn't give him one hard shot.
Yeah.
Every high-danger area shot went in on Darcy Kemper. And Colorado's made it to the Stanley Cup final, not because of goaltending, but despite it, because their defense has protected him. And now Tampa, look, if I'm Colorado, look, am I worried? Yes. Should I be wary? Because I should go back and watch game four against Toronto and game four of the Rangers series when Tampa was back in the series, because they had a game like that last night and they can carry that through to the next three games.
What about you, Chris? What do you think has stood out the most? Chris is gone. Chris said, I'm out of here. Jim, Jim's thoughts sucked, and he's gone.
So
while we wait, for me, it was kind of something that you brought up. Valeri Nichushkin has played lights out still. Even last night in a loss, like that offside goal, and I'll let you talk about it in a second. The offside goal, one, cost me a Nichushkin anytime goal bet because I was so happy.
That was 250. Oh no!
I went from so happy to so damn sad in such a short amount of time. And I'm like, oh, early enough. But I kind of felt like, nope. That was such a big momentum shift, too.
It was. It was a big shift.
But Nichushkin's play through these first three games has been exactly what Colorado needed it to be. And it's been fantastic. Rantanen, like, just he's been lights out passing the puck. He doesn't need to score. He's found out, and he's accepted that. He talked about it, I think it was in the second round series against St. Louis, that they were talking about him not scoring. He's been interviewed. He's like, I don't care if I'm finding people the puck and they're scoring. That means goals are still being scored. So it doesn't matter if it's me or if it's my team. And he has settled into that setup man role wonderfully, even more so than he already was. And watching him has been fun. Vasilevsky, also, he's given up some weak ones, man. He's made big saves, like the save last night.
Three saves on Comfer last night.
God.
Three saves.
Like, he does that, but he's also, like, game one, he gave up a couple ones where I'm like, I'm not used to seeing that.
But he settled in after those three goals.
Yes.
He did. In game two, he was just left out to dry, as Killorn said. He's like, yo, we left this guy out to dry. We gave him no help.
No goalies. Yeah, when you're giving up odd man rushes and slot scoring chances and every 30 seconds.
But the blocker side, every 30 seconds he was getting lit up.
But yeah.
But the blocker side of Vasilevsky, 29 goals now in the playoffs over the blocker side. It could have been 30 if the Nichushkin goal stood up, which was, you know, it called back because of an offside.
Chris, what's been your takeaway of the first three games?
This has been fun. We need more of this, basically.
It's like just
inject it into my veins.
I mean, the kick in the nuts for the goalie pads are too big argument.
It really is.
this season's been a big kick in the nuts against that argument.
Yeah, that's that argument is now dead in water. I mean, look.
And that helps the ratings too. Goal scoring.
Oh, does it 100%.
Granted, there was a game I remember a few years ago. It was a regular season game between Buffalo and Calgary. It was years ago. Kipper was the goalie for Calgary. And it was Miller and Kipper, and it was a 1-0 shootout game. But it was some, like, each team had 30-something shots, but it was just some of the best goaltending I've watched in a regular, like, it was just fantastic to watch, where it's like, wasn't like there weren't opportunities. It was just the goalies were making unbelievable saves. So it can still work, but to the average casual who's going to tune in at Stanley Cup final time.
And most of the goals.
They games like, even if it's a blowout, they don't care. They want to see as many highlight reel goals as they can.
Yeah, and they got plenty of them.
Yeah, this is not in short supply. You think about it. All right, so you figure 22 goals in the three games so far.
Yep.
Technically 22 and a half or 23, depending on the argument.
We'll get to that in a minute.
But the over is hit in Grant. Now, here's the funny part. Game three, I don't know if people saw this, and this is important from a betting angle. If you caught it, like, right around 3 o'clock, you caught Tampa Bay on the puck line at plus 260. Literally, it flopped. The line flopped ever so slightly. And what happens is when it goes even to a favorite, and it gets that it stays that close to even, your puck line is amplified. And if you timed it just right, you nailed it. So you could have sat there and did the following. In the morning, you could have gotten Colorado plus 270 on the puck line and hedged it with the Tampa Bay plus 260 and still made 1.3 units just by simply betting both of them.
Yep.
Not hard.
No,
I mean, dude, when you get a perfect hedge like that, there was one not too long. It was in the Tampa Rangers series. I was like, I had a 50%, couple 50% profit boosts. I was like, oh, this is amazing. So no matter what, I put a money line on or a puck line on the Rangers, puck line on the Lightning. Yeah. And I'm sat there and I'm just like, all right, I'm going to watch the game and relax and hope it doesn't go to overtime.
that's pretty much all you had to do, because what happens is, all right, so it was plus 260 on the puck line. It was plus 305 in regulation. So you're getting 40 to 50 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
For a slightly favored team when you normally only get about maybe 25 to 30, sometimes 35.
Yeah.
You know, these are the stupid angles that we dig up so you don't have to. But that's what part of what's made it fun. The other thing, guys, really quick, that's made this series a ton of fun is now we have some snarl to this. You know, we got them hating each other and channeling their dark sides. I mean,
and I'm still, finally. And we'll talk about where the series goes from here in 1 second. But there was some stuff going on yesterday that for some reason is controversial, but it shouldn't because they got the call right. Nichushkin's goal offside, the play was offside. And it's not like one of those things, well, it was offside 50 seconds or a whole minute before the goal was scored. No, it was offside as the puck was passed in to Rantanen, and they passed it across. Like, it's there. Like, we know. But, Jim, I want you to have the stage with this one because you've seen some people say some stupid things.
Yeah, so this morning I wake up to find out some jabroni on Twitter decides after the comment I make because I said, look, I could have taken the call that how long it took was like 5 minutes to get the call right. Within two views, I knew it was offside without even being in Toronto. And I know they have a tough job. So the guy's like, oh, well, you know, Tampa Bay is home team. You know, the referees favor Tampa. The referees, you know, allowed Cooper to take 5 minutes for his coach's challenge. I'm like, wait, what? He almost asked the referee to drop the puck and held him up. And it was a minute and 20 seconds after the goal was scored before the review came. They're blaming Tampa. They were blaming the referees. They were blaming Cooper because the call was made right. Now, what I have a problem with is the fact that between two broadcasts, we only got two views, an overhead view and this far side view.
And it wasn't even a side view. It was a far side like this.
Yeah.
Like here's
on an angle.
On his an angle. Line,
and this is how you're viewing it.
Like, now, that's that the same. Be? Wait, but don't forget. Now, this is the same angle that you can see the quote unquote. Now, we're going to go back. Calgary fans, if you're watching, you may get. This is the same angle they showed when the overtime goal in 04, where they said it was no goal that would have won Calgary the Stanley Cup. Now, there's supposed to be blue line cameras and in the board cameras on the blue line to tell us where the puck crosses the line. We never saw any of those angles. They're supposed to be. They said they have these angles. We were in the war room.
And it still shouldn't have taken that long.
And it shouldn't have taken that long. Somebody brought up the point to me, you know, the world championships had, you know, we have all this tracking and pucks and players and all this stuff. Once the puck crosses the line, you should know it's offside. Like, there should be a buzzer or something that knows you're offside. But the fact that the stupid comments come out about blaming the referees, their favoritism because they're down 2-0. The coaches, John Cooper said it best to Emily Kaplan. Toronto, everybody else can take their time to get the call, but they have to rush because they don't have the camera angle. And I agree with the coaches. I think that's a fair point that, you know what? They have this minimum window to make sure, oh, we need to challenge. But Toronto can take up to 5 minutes to slow the game down.
Yeah, I'm at the point, yeah, the cameras, the inboard cameras on the line. But we're at the point now, and we're at the technology where it should be very easy to have a chip in the pucks to tell you whether they're offside or not. Easy. Shouldn't be anything. Yep. Or at least tell you where the puck is so you know exactly where the puck is, because obviously the puck could be out, but if they're not touching it, not in possession, whatever. We should be at the point where it's clear as day.
Just get it right.
And they did.
Get it right.
At the end of the day, they got it right. It's just, again, Colorado, this is your fault. Matt Duchene, this is your fault.
Oh.
All your fault. This wouldn't happen if it wasn't for you. You ruined hockey and invented coaches' challenges for offside, so piss off, you clowns. I hope every challenge you ever have goes against you.
Things said by the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Anyway, moving on. The future of this series, before we get into the coaches, where do you see? I'm still sticking Tampa in six. Granted, I know now they got to win three straight. but I already said it, so I'm saying it. Colorado, congratulations. Enjoy your parade.
What? Hey, but wait. Here, going back to the offside thing for a minute. Like, you can have a candle burn, and they were still waiting for Toronto to, you know, you know, get these calls right. I mean, it just takes forever. I mean, like, it's got to be within a window. If they don't know, if there's not conclusive evidence, then within a reasonable amount of time, it's done. Like, it stays whatever way. But there was white ice, so you could see it. And I saw it on the overhead camera.
Yeah. All right, so what would this be, like, NFL reasonable time? Like, say, 90 seconds to 2 minutes?
Yes. Because I couldn't – I told you – I said it on two replays. The second they showed the overhead replay, it was clear there was white ice. I'm like, it's offside. Like, I don't know how many angles you needed to see.
23 years ago, it was clear that Brett Hull – today, it was clear that Brett Hull's skate was in the crease, and I got
no,
that.
No, it was a good goal, though.
It was not. If you have to – if you have to change a rule immediately after, then you got it wrong. They got rid of the rule because they realized they screwed it up. Got it wrong. Don't argue with me. I control the mute.
Ooh.
you're waiting for like the around the horn like mute sound. Like,
oh. There's the mute. There's the mute sound. Just remove his face.
Just okay. facial derecognition.
So you guys both took Colorado. Do anything you've seen over the three games give you any pause about what you picked?
I didn't take Colorado to win.
Oh, you're right. Chris did. You were on the side of, till they beat the champs, they're the champs.
Exactly. Yep.
And then I picked Tampa Bay and completely ruined your pick.
That's true. You did.
You did jump the shark a little bit.
You did jump the shark.
Look, I picked them to lose every other series and they won. So flip it.
Look, to me, again, till you get beat four games, they're the champs till they're the champs. And look, Colorado better be worried because if Tampa wins game four.
It's not like they weren't down 2-0 before.
Right.
And I think this happened against a better goaltender.
Right, exactly. Look, I mean, they get to Kemper.
Officially Vezina winning goaltender.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Against the Vezina winning goaltender. And think about this now. If they get to Kemper again, this series tied at 2-2 going back to Colorado. You're telling me that this isn't going to be – Tampa can't win two more games in a row?
Do you think if it gets to 2-2, going back to Colorado, depending how it goes, Colorado considers a goaltending change?
They have to. They have to consider it. Darcy Kemper has to be on a short leash tomorrow.
I go Boulder.
You start Francois game four.
I start him game four immediately. I feel like Bednar would give Kemper. I know, and he's going to do it to a fault because we've seen it. We've seen it in a lot of the media transcripts today, where he kind of has done that to a fault all season.
And I get it. Yeah, he got the shutout, but like you said, he was protected. It was just
way protected.
But like, at the end of the day, a shutout's a shutout. But yeah, I think he gets to start tomorrow. If Tampa wins and if they're getting 4 or 5 goals tomorrow night again
on 20 shots, yeah, he's done for the rest of the series.
I think he's out. If they get 5 goals on say 45 shots, but yeah, if it's another, they have 5 goals by the time they hit 20 shots.
I believe his save percentage in the playoffs or in this series right now, I believe it's the playoffs. It's only like 890 something because he's missed.
Yeah, it's below 900.
In this series,
it's below 900.
In this series, it's an 869.
Yeah.
It's
not good.
Not good, Bob.
No.
But Francois is only 906. So it's not like, you know, the option.
Yeah, but that's enough. That's enough to win you games against even Tampa Bay at this point.
He really didn't have that much work last night.
Vasilevsky's save percentage this series is .879. So it's not like
lit
it's
lit up.
Yeah.
So even with getting lit up
in shots, it's still not that much higher.
.008
higher. So
yeah, here's the crazy number. So Kemper is 8-3 in these playoffs in 13 starts.
Yep.
His save percentage has now dropped to an .892 for the playoffs. He only has 7 quality starts, which is not very good for playoff goaltenders. I mean, your quality start percentage should be probably above 60. You know, for the average playoff starting goalie, it's 53.8. That's one problem. Two, he is saving at the rate of -6 goals above average. -6.
Yeah, it's not good.
For a Stanley Cup final goaltender. No good. You need at least something close to average. That's not happening with him. He's just too inconsistent. It's like, somebody said it from even Arizona. Adventures in goaltending with Darcy.
Well,
and yeah. They're not wrong. And part of that stems from the fact, and Tampa exploited this last night, guys, in a big way in the first two periods. They got to the middle of the ice and got shots down on the ice to draw rebounds. It was by design. You have to give John Cooper and his coaching staff full marks for spotting this. Okay, maybe they spotted it a game too late. Okay, but that doesn't matter now. The bottom line is they saw something in the film that clearly was exploitable, and they took full advantage of it. And The only concern with Tampa Bay is going to be this. Do they run out of gas, guys? Because they did last night. And, you know, it in a closer game, does that cost them? That's the question.
Maybe. We did think they ran out of gas against Toronto. We'll see what happens.
We don't know.
I don't care what people say about who they beat to get to the finals, to the bubble. I don't care. They still had to beat them. They still beat them, and they did it convincingly each time. So
it's like whatever. They're here.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. That's kind of how it felt last night. Okay, moving on. We have, since we talked last week, 3 more coach hirings. John Tortorella to the Flyers. The Oilers keeping. Yeah, the Oilers, I guess, makes sense.
Jay Woodcroft.
Woodcroft.
The most obvious decision in the history of life.
Yeah, because yeah, exactly. I mean, look what he did when he came in and got the team playing well to where they got to the conference final. And then the Stars admitting they suck. Yeah, and wow. I wish them nothing but no success for the rest of their franchise history. But that brings up what we've talked about a lot in the past, retreads. And the NHL has a retread problem. Now, there's some that make sense. Bruce Cassidy. Bruce Cassidy is a coach where, you know, he had that first opportunity in Washington. You can call him a retread when he finally got to Boston. But it was years after the fact. I mean, years after the fact, over a decade and a half almost. And he had spent time in earning his keep in Providence. So we get that. Like Bruce Cassidy, he gets fired for some stupid reason, gets let go from Boston because of differences in what Boston management wanted versus what Cassidy wanted, and he gets sopped up by Vegas like we all thought they should do. You got Barry Trotz, who earned his keep to go wherever he wants because he took the Islanders to back-to-back conference finals. At the end of the day, he did it. He got Washington their cup. Nashville, he turned Nashville into a contending franchise, a well-oiled franchise, and they will be better off for it for years to come because of what Barry Trotz did there.
Breaking news, Cale Makar, Norris Trophy.
What a shock there.
Right.
But
yeah,
no surprise there. But then you got guys like in the past, Alain Vigneault or Dave Tippett.
Wow. That's crazy.
Or guys now like Tortorella and Pete DeBoer, who has to have dirt on somebody. These guys where the game, and especially in Tortorella's case, the game has passed him by. We saw it pass him by when he went off on his stupid rant against Trevor Zegras for being too fancy with the puck. Doesn't matter. He scored all the time. He made it look, it's not like he was doing it and hurting his team. But I'm at the point where I'm sick and tired. It just feels like the NHL continues to be at a higher level than the NBA and a higher level than the NFL for sure. And even Major League Baseball to a point where they just love to hire retreads. And it feels like it's nothing but an old boys club at this point, where if you are a friend of management in the league, you are guaranteed to get a job. And that's what it seems like Pete DeBoer is. He has friends in high places throughout the league, so he keeps getting hired no matter how shitty he is. And we all know he's shitty. We all know.
Like, damn, we all know. Now the song's in my head. Good job, Mike.
The only shittier coach in hockey is Dave Hextall, because he's the worst coach to ever coach hockey. I could be in charge of Seattle tomorrow, and I will be better at coaching my team than Dave Hextall. And I don't care if anybody doubts me. Let me prove it. Until you can let me prove you right, I'm right. Anyway, like, I don't get why. Chris, what theory do you have that they keep these same guys constantly keep getting these positions that have clearly, like, if it's one job and you go to a second place, okay, that makes sense. But when it's multiple places and you have underperformed after underperformed after underperformed after underperformed, how do you keep justifying that this guy is going to be your coach? How do you excite a fan base about this guy coming in? You just can't. Like, if I'm a Stars fan, I'm pissed. If I'm a Flyers fan, I'm pissed. If I'm anybody playing the Flyers, it's hilarious because Rasmus Ristolainen is about to play 30 minutes a night.
Yay. All right. Let's try. I guess this is case by case basis almost. So I guess we start with the one that Jim and I know very well. And that is the one Peter DeBoer. Now, look, there's two schools of thought here. If you're Dallas, you get the sleepy time tea out, because it's going to be the same old. And one of the big complaints with Rick Bowness, ironically, and this is where I don't understand the hire, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but there's a reason why Rick Bowness had a nickname called Bonehead. I mean, to a fault, this guy was so stubborn that he sacrificed good offense for what? I have no idea. And nobody will have a clear answer on this in Dallas ever, because they still don't have it from his time in Ottawa or his time with the Islanders, for that matter. I mean, you could go down the line. I mean, Bonus is another technical multiple retread that failed everywhere. So in that sense, it's like the failures of the fail of the fail of the fail. And DeBoer in this case is no exception. I mean, you need a more dynamic coach in Dallas. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You need something to spark that offense and jolt that besides that top line. I mean,
is there any player for the Stars that goes, yay, Pete DeBoer's coming in?
Nope. There may be only the goaltending somewhat. And even then, I mean, you can make a case that they're not too happy about this either, to be honest.
No, it's going to be another case of Ottinger's now going to be like, as the guy, he's going to have to be like, oh, shit.
It's going to be rough.
He's going to get blown up. He's going to get blown up.
Yeah, at times. Look at what happened in Vegas. You know, very often you'd see the lines where, you know, Vegas would reel off. Okay, they go 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, etc. But then you'd have like 3-4 games where your goaltender gets lifted up for 5 goals on 25 shots. I mean, and I know players, you know, they care a little bit about their individual statistics. Don't say that they don't.
They do.
Because come contract time.
Player that says they don't is lying through their teeth.
Because what do they always say at contract time?
Oh, I'm just going to let it go and see what happens and let it play out.
Meanwhile, in the room, the guy's like, yo, look what my guy did. He had a career year with goals, assists, points. Look at his playoff numbers.
You think Nichushkin's agent isn't thinking about them numbers and talking with them right now?
There is a level of Homer Simpson's size drool right now that Nichushkin's agent is just like going, wait, now Kadri. He's getting top line ice time.
Big time.
Now here we go. Now there's a flip side to this, of course. there is the story of poor Alex Killorn, who still has not scored a goal in the entire playoffs. How crazy is that? And he's still getting top six ice time. I mean,
because he's a great defensive forward.
I get it, but it's like, he's even defensively, I'll argue the first three games, he has not been that good.
No.
He's been dragged around by Stamkos, Kucherov, you know, Hedman. I get why they're still playing him where he is, because occasionally, like has been pointed out, he does make some very brilliant defensive decisions. But at some point, and I'll say this right now, Tampa does not win this round if they do not get secondary scoring like Colorado can provide.
I mean,
they just can't do it.
You saw what happened in game three. You saw what happened in game three with the guys like Nick Paul scoring, Ross Colton gets on the board, Maroon Power. You know, they got their guys
now. They got it going. But the question is, can they keep it going? And that'll be a back and forth thing for the rest of the series, whether we like it or not.
Look, I'm gonna throw this out there before I give my opinion on the coaching and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think we see Braden Point the rest of the series. I don't Probably think not. So. I just don't think so.
It's tough. I think if it comes down to, I think he'd play in a game seven, but
yeah,
even then that was rough.
Yeah,
he looked like a liability out there. Let's be real.
Yeah, let's be honest.
So
first game, yeah.
The coaching. Back to the coaching, Jim DeBoer. We'll start your thoughts on DeBoer, and then we'll go to Torts and just overall in general.
Look, I'm not a big fan of his. I mean, yeah, he's been to two Stanley Cup finals, but look how his teams were outplayed in both of those Stanley Cup finals. But opposition, especially Pittsburgh against Mike Sullivan, he was just outcoached.
Too much into, oh, he's been there. Show me if they've won it.
They haven't won it.
Exactly.
And look at the last 2 years.
Stanley Cup coach, if they've won the cup, not they got there once in 12 years.
Right.
Like Tortorella. Exactly. I get it, Tortorella won one, but he has flown on that one win in a series. They got freaking luckier than a.
What's the other series that he's flown his hat on for the last three, though?
Oh, Tampa series.
Yeah. Yeah.
He started this thing. It's his fault.
I know. He should never come. You know what, Philly? You know what? I'm happy for you, Philly. I'm happy you're going to be in the lottery picking top three for the next 10 years.
But I think, honestly, no matter who they picked for a coach in Philadelphia, they were destined for a top lottery pick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But they're getting – I mean, we knew they were all getting retreads.
Right. Look. You knew they were getting retreads. And worse, you know, and I know, that it's an absolute mess. When we're flying trade rumors already about Travis Konechny already –
Yeah.
You know, granted these are mostly made up, but the fact is people are floating them and there are people that are in the know. So it's not always smoke here. There's something to it at least.
Obviously. If you are so one of the things that came out too was the story, and granted, I expect this anytime a team hires their coach, this story is going to come out in Philly that Torts was their number one guy from the start. He was our man we honed in on. One, that is pushed to try and excite a fan base that hates the hire. If the fan base is happy with the hire, you're not getting that type of story out because no shit. It doesn't matter. The fan base is stoked. And you're also not going to get, well, he wasn't the one we wanted, but I guess we settled. You're not going to get that either. Of course, this is going to come out. No one's going into 2022 and saying, I want 63-year-old John Tortorella to lead my team into the future of the NHL. Like, what kind of joke is that? All it does, again, it signals it's an old boys club with, if you have friends, you're going to get a job. Nepotism, man.
You know, it's crazy. The fact that Torts is still going, and I think he was fine on TV. But
me too. I think he belonged there.
The thing is, Fletcher wants to make a splash. He wants to save his job. Torts says all the right things about, you know, bringing pie back to the Philadelphia logo and the Broad Street Bullet and all this stuff. It's all well and good, but the team's in a rebuild. I understand he did stuff with Columbus. He did less with more in Columbus, but they also had Panarin and Bobrovsky.
They also had a great GM.
Right, exactly.
Chuck Fletcher isn't a great GM.
No.
We saw that once.
Fletcher, Chuck Fletcher is getting to, he's not at that level, but he's getting, in my book, to Ron Francis level.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, again, and then you go back to DeBoer and Dallas. Dallas is a mediocre team that had the worst goal differential in the, of the eight.
They overachieved because they got hot late with a good goaltender.
And look what happened to Vegas's power play, and look what happened to that team down the stretch and in the playoffs under DeBoer. They struggled. They blew leads. Their power play wasn't there. That's why I love Cassidy for Vegas. He's going to fix the power play, and they're going to just be rolling. But Woodcroft and Edmonton is fine. When you all knew it was going to come, they performed well under him. But the two head scratchers are DeBoer and Dallas and Torts and Tocchet, because I think there were better candidates out there. I think if those two teams followed the route that the Canadians took, maybe bringing like a former player, like a Martin St. Louis type, I think they'd have more success. But I understand that Philadelphia is wary because of, you know, your boy Hackstall.
I get some wariness because you got to look, the Rangers with David Quinn.
Right.
The Flyers with Hackstall. Okay, they took a chance on college coaches. They flubbed. Why aren't these teams and Kyle brings – actually, I'll get to my point in a second. Kyle says Torts seems like the perfect – Broad Street Bullies are dead. That is not existing anymore. No, that type of play. Maybe in the 70s, 80s, yeah. But now all you're going to do is you're going to get your eyes rolled at. When he throws out his antics, no one's like, oh, look at Torts being Torts. Everyone's like, Jesus Christ, this again? That's where we're at with Tortorella.
And the media is not going to put up with this crap anymore. It's not funny anymore. It's not funny. He does 11-second press conferences.
You're trying to do your job. It's not exactly. It's funny to the fans when it happened, but like I remember when he was coaching Vancouver, and we're standing outside. The Sabres had routed the Canucks.
Right.
And we're standing outside trying to – I'm working for Bleacher Report at the time. And I'm trying to – I'm waiting. We're all waiting there and getting our story or whatever. And he comes out. He's like, we sucked, and then walked away. I'm like, dude, what the
– Yeah, exactly.
Piss off. Dude, I'm trying to do a job too. Just because you suck at yours doesn't mean you should make me suck at mine. Granted, I didn't, because I was able to write a column on how Tortorella's a joke. But, like, it just – piss off with that. But why doesn't the league – and I feel like hopefully this ends soon – yeah, it seems maybe they're afraid of going the college route after Montgomery and Quinn. Though Montgomery was his own issues, like
He had his own demons.
He had personal demons. That is not a hockey thing. He was fine. Hackstall joke. Quinn. I think Quinn could do the Cassidy route where he goes away, AHL, gets that professional experience, comes back.
He showed during the Worlds that Quinn was a perfectly competent coach with incompetent management who couldn't bring more than four defensemen over to play in a tournament. Yeah. And they almost medaled. I mean, with four defensemen. Three and a half, Seth Jones.
I think he'd be a good fit. I think Quinn's a good fit in Boston or Detroit. I think he would work well.
I think under Stevie Y, he can make it work, because Stevie Y, it's just, I trust Stevie Y with anything right now for what he's done. Like, until Stevie Y, kind of how you are with Tampa, like, beat the champs.
No, but Stevie Y built this championship team.
Yeah, that's why whatever Stevie does, okay, good, it's going to work. I don't know when, but eventually it'll work. That's how I feel with Stevie. But, like, why, and we got to start wrapping up here, so more – a quicker thing. Why does it seem like the NHL is afraid? I don't know if afraid's the right word, but I'm going to use it. They seem afraid to take a chance on European coaches. You don't really, I feel like we're due for that influx of European coaches.
Gromborg theory.
Exactly. I don't know. Well, we have a Finnish coach potentially up for the Florida Panthers job.
So there's rumblings, at least.
Yeah,
for those wondering, it's like, well, why haven't they? And part of it too is Gromborg is picking his spots.
He deserves it.
He's done it for several years, and he absolutely has that right as a top of the line world level.
But coach. There's others who aren't at that level that it could seems like they're just being ignored.
Oh, like, it's 100%.
The NHL, they're not reaching out to them. They're staying in the North American circle.
They love the same guys over and over again. Until the cycle doesn't work anymore, they're just going to keep using those guys. And it's a shame, because you could see what Martin St. Louis is doing in Montreal is the new way of coach in this league, what Jared Bednar went through. Like,
I mean, look what it took for – I'm going to use the Sabres. Grant, he hasn't proven anything, but he's already proven he can get the most out of players, and he just needs some better players.
Granato, man.
Granato has finally gotten that opportunity after years in development, years as assistant, got that opportunity. It's like, finally. Like, what takes so long for these guys to get a shot? Like, St. Louis, like, that was quick. Like, that's unheard of. But, you know, he speaks French.
Connections.
So automatically. Exactly.
And I think Montreal wanted him from a long time.
Yeah,
like,
Jeff Gordon really wanted.
When you go and say, when you go and say he was our guy, I'd believe it.
Plus, they're bringing. Look what that organization is doing too. Like, I wouldn't be shocked to see in a few years, like Marie-Philippe Poulin behind the bench with St. Louis if he's still coaching. Like, that's how much like her hockey knowledge is going to be used in Montreal.
I'm not going to lie. As a hockey player, you know, just from the strict fandom, you despise her as an American because of what she did to Team USA and the torment caused. But you respect the ever-loving daylights of her ability on the ice, her ability to break plays down, not just the X's and O's, but break the mental part of what decision-making is being made. She is a future coach in the NHL. She really is. There is no slicing or dicing on this. If the first female coach is her, she's going to be good and more than good.
And she's going to have the respect of the locker room, which is the most important thing, because people know she can do it because she's done it on the big stage. Like, they will respect her ability because of what she's done.
It's
bingo.
Do you think, though, we'll wrap it up at this. Within the next 5 years, we finally see a changing of the guard.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Absolutely.
I think so.
You think it's more forced from the outside, or is it just them finally realizing it inside?
I think they're going to finally realize it inside when the Boer is out in 2 years in Dallas.
If
If he makes it that long.
Yeah, I give it a year and a half at most.
You know, somehow there should be odds on this, right?
I think somehow they end up in a top 10 draft pick next year. Speaking of the draft, as we're going to wrap it up here, thank you everyone for tuning in as always. Next week we have a regular show. The week of the 4th of July. That is a big week. We are not going to have a regular show on July 5th. And we'll remind you guys next week. But July 5th, we will be debuting at 7 o'clock our Full Press Hockey Weekly mock draft, where myself, Jim, and Chris will go through alternating picks of the first round. And then on Thursday, July 7th, we will be live for our second annual, because, you know, last year was the first, now we can say annual, our second annual NHL draft show, live here on Full Press Coverage, hours of coverage that night, see if any big trades happen. We know picks will be traded, but we'll see what else. I like that it's on a Thursday and Friday this year instead of Friday and Saturday. So it's gonna be a fun watch. You can follow Jim at Jim Behringer, Chris at Chris Wassel, myself at Mike Straw Media. Make sure you subscribe to us. Full Press, youtube.com/fullpresscoverage, twitch.tv/fullpresscoverage. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Full Press NHL. Until next time, guys, thank you for tuning in. We are out.
Peace.